been telling you about little Gavin, my little two-year-old grandson. We had a picture of him posted up there last week on the coasttocoastam.com website. Been a little slow in talking and takes after me, right? And he's now saying, Papa, Papa, Papa. And that's all he says. He won't stop saying it. It's kind of cute. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines now on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, Open Lines. No special hotline tonight. We'll just be free-flowing. Don't forget, right at the last 30 minutes of the program tonight, Richard C. Hoagland joins us with two astounding stories. One, his reaction, his interpretation of what's going on with that Russian missile, if it was one, that had that spiral look to it. We had it posted on coasttocoastam.com a few days ago with that blue beam light that came out of the middle of it. Bizarre story. And also a story now out of India, where they're talking about the possibility of life on the moon. You heard me. Life on the moon. Let's go to the calls. Wild cards are open, by the way. We'll go to Cleveland, Ohio to start. East of the Rockies, Jason, you're up with us. Hey, Jason.
Mr. Norrie, how are you, sir?
Good,
it's an
Jason.
Honor. I've listened to you. I want to tell you real quick, I never thought anyone could fill our Bell shoes, and you did, man. It's an incredible thing. It is.
Well, I'm still sloshing around in them, Jason, but I'm here.
But I never thought I'd listen after Artless. But anyway, I love you, George. How about Sir Graves? You remember
yes,
him?
I sure do.
Southwest Detroit.
Sir Graves Gastly.
Yes, exactly. I remember as a kid, I'm 37. I grew up in Southwest Detroit, WJBK, you know, Channel 2.
I worked at Channel 2 for years.
I know. I've kind of done some research on you, and you really, yeah. There's a lot of things with that are drawing me to you. But anyway, George, I love your show. It's like, to some of us, it's a lesson, your show. It's like school at night. And I just don't know how to thank you, and it's an honor to speak to you, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right.
That. Love it. And Sir Graves, by the way, would, as I mentioned, always end by going, happy hunting. Well, 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 we've got Joe in Boston on the wild card line. Joseph,
hey,
how are you?
Oh, I've been through a lot. I lost my father. I've been in and out of hospital. But I wanted to talk about Frank's ghost boxes.
Let me tell you something. Tom said just 2 weeks ago to me, he said, George, we haven't heard from Joe yet in Boston. Joe, we thought we lost you.
Well, I thought I was gone too, because I was in the hospital. I almost attempted to take my life because I lost
no,
dad.
No.
And you know, the funny thing is, we got close before he died. He was a major. I never knew it. And he apologized for all his not getting help. And we could have had a much better life. And we were on the phone. And I have something I'd like to send it to you, if you can open attachments. It's called
I can.
A Soldier's Christmas, A Soldier's Night Before Christmas. I have the actual MP3. I got it. Not many people can find it, but I got it.
Okay.
I'll send it to you. And I wanted to ask about Frank's ghost box. If anyone could make one for me, and I don't know if they have my P.O. box or my email, and send it to me, because I want to see if I can talk to Dad.
Would you email me, and maybe I can get Rosemary Ellen Guiley to release one of the several she has?
Oh, she does have several.
A couple of them. And you know what? She might give you maybe one of the older versions.
Do they work just as well?
She says they do. I mean, if you believe that there is an ability to contact the afterlife, you know, I'm working on a book with her about talking to the dead.
Yeah,
and,
no.
And she is doing extensive research for us.
And someone would have to do a little tape for me, because I can't see, you know, how to work it. It's very easy. You turn a knob and write.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd supply some instructions with that, if she gives it up.
Yeah, I would really appreciate it. Yeah, because I really miss him so much, and it's awful when it happens this way. I found out he was a major. He retired before he should have, because, you know, he got stubborn and he got medals and everything else. It's just heartbreaking.
How old was he, Joe, when he died?
88. It's 88 or 89. 88, around there.
89. Did you talk? You didn't talk too much with him, I guess, during the last few years?
Most of my life, we didn't have much conversation. I've had trouble, and I knew I was a disappointment. But he says, you're not. You were a good son. It was all my fault. I was too rough with your mother, too rough with you. He was just a brute, but yet we loved him. You know what I mean? He was our father. Yeah. He's just one of those real tough disciplinarians, too tough physically and mentally. And he interrupted me at the end and apologized.
And let me ask you something, because you said something right at the outset here that bothered me, because I don't want to let you go until I hear this from you. But you said that you were so despondent, you were thinking of taking your life
yes,
because
I did.
Your father died?
Yes. because I wanted to be with him a few weeks ago and a few months ago, too, two or three times.
Are you okay now?
Yes, but I really miss him, and I hope if we can get this box, I can talk to him. And
yeah, but Joe, listen, you know better than anybody that living is part of life. Living and dying, that's part of the whole picture. It happens to all of us.
I know. But
Gene Barry today, 90 years old. I never thought that guy would ever die. You know what? You know, I'd see him on Bat Masterson, Burke's Law, Name of the Game.
Is he the guy?
I forgot about him.
Was he in a rest home?
Yeah.
Yeah, all alone. That's terrible.
He was. But, I mean, people die, Joe.
I know, George. But when you're alone, you want to be with them. And it just, I play that thing, and I think of him, and I pray to him for help. And I say, Dad, if it's your will, I hope you someday or soon come and get me, because I want to be with him more than ever now for some reason.
Don't rush it, Joseph. You'll get there. You'll get there eventually.
What's your email? And I think I have it, but I'll send it to you. And what do you want me to?
Well, I need your confidential information, and I'll send it to Rosemary, and if she wants to send you one, she can, okay?
Yeah.
But it's George at coast2coast. You got to put the T-O in there. coast2coastam.com.
Okay, and just send you my address and stuff?
Put your address in there and your phone number and some stuff like that.
Okay, and I would really appreciate it because I really – and can you tell her can you ask her if she'd be gracious enough to send me one?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to get your information and send it to her and see if she'll send one.
I really appreciate it because I really – it's unfortunate that it happens this way, but it always – at the end, then the dad humbled himself, and he was sick with cancer. He had brain cancer and everything. I just wish –
And we got live shows for you on Christmas Eve and Christmas night. We're going to be here. So you're going to be here?
I'll try to. I don't know where I'm going to be. I wanted to go with my cousin, but her husband has a grudge against me for some reason. That
bothers me. You're going to be next to a radio, though, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, then you know what you got to do.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I'll send you my info. God bless. Thanks.
All right, Joe. You take care of yourself. Gina in Fresno, California, first-time caller. Hi, Gina.
Hi, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. I actually have a question for you and for all the fantastic listeners out there. I've been having a series of dreams. I've done some research myself, and a few friends have tried to help me out. But basically, it has to do a lot with red-tailed hawks. And I see them a lot where I live in my area, and I've also been having all these dreams. Well, a couple of nights ago, I actually had a dream about a thunderbird, which made me think of, you know, the show, because I actually didn't know much about them until I started listening to the show. You know, you have so many great shows about it, about all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so basically it was, I was driving in a car, I was sitting in the front seat of a car in the passenger side, looking out the window, and I was looking at the tops of all these trees, and one of the tops of the trees came off and started flying, and I thought to myself, that's got to be it's not a regular bird, obviously, you know, it was huge. And the first thing I thought was pterodactyl, and the second thing I thought was, you know, thunderbird. And it landed behind the car, and the car was still driving forward. And I stuck my head out the window, and he was almost the size of the whole, you know, the whole road. And with his talon handed me a gold leaf. I don't know what that means. It was like yellow gold. And after that, I had a dream about a bald eagle. And so I'm wondering, and this is all within like a month's time, like a few weeks. And so I'm wondering if anybody out there, you know, could call and maybe have some kind of, you know, guidance where I can get some answers for this. Because obviously, I really feel like something's going on. Something's trying to tell me something. Something's going to happen.
Go on to Lauren Coleman's website, Crypto Mundo, MUNDO.com. If you can't find it, just search for his name on our website, Lauren Coleman. And he's got a lot of information about this.
Okay. And what about dream interpretation?
That's Rosemary Ellen Guiley. That's visionaryliving.com. And she will reply to your emails.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, George. And okay. I've been a great, you know, a fan for a very long time, and you do an awesome job. Thank you.
We've got many more miles to go.
Of course. I sure hope so.
Yep. And as long as we stay healthy. Hey, thanks for the call. East of the Rockies, we go to Tallahassee, Florida. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, George Norrie. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Fine, thank you. Again, my name is Rod Dial. And again, we are living in some interesting times. We are in the age of Aquarius, which is not the age of the Pisces, which is belief, but the age of knowledge. And again, I just want to share with your listening audience, there's many cults. You got the Thule Society, you got Skull and Bones, you got the Masonic, you got the Shriners. But the order that's mentioned in the scriptures that Jesus was made high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Once you break down the word Mel means black, melanic, which means black or very dark, and chi means energy, life force or spirit, dark energy. And Zedek means teacher or priest. He was teaching the science of dark energy. Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It only changes forms. And, you know, everything came from this dark energy, which is everything.
Do you think we're surrounded by not only dark energy, but darkness, evil? Is it all over the place?
Well, again, once this consciousness, now, again, this dark energy is consciousness. That's why every living thing, even plants and animals, down to the single cell of Nebula, has is a living thing. So it has a consciousness. Consciousness is the soul. And the spirit of life is what animates or give the body life, no matter what form it is in. Even down to the inanimate objects, you have the power of the atom. The electrons constantly spinning around the nucleus, so there's a force spinning around within everything. But again, the Melchizedek knowledge is breaking down to number 7. From darkness came light. When you shoot light through a prism, it breaks up into the 7 colors of the rainbow spectrum. You got 7 chakras on the body. Each chakra and color vibrates a different frequency of vibration. But from the lower chakra is red, which is the devil or your lower self, and your higher chakra is ultraviolet. So it's, the goal is to learn how to go from your lower chakra to your higher chakra. Yeshua said, if thine eye be single, then thy whole body is full of light. Once you get to the 6th chakra, which is your third eye, your single eye, you know, that's when you have mastered the physical world.
You're right about that. And you have mastered this. That's pretty darn good. There aren't a lot of people who can understand that as well as you do. A couple more calls before the break. What a fast half hour. What a fast show, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. Mike, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, George. How
morning.
You doing?
Good, Michael. How about you? All well?
Pretty good. I've been listening to you ever since you were on in St. Louis on 550. And enjoy your show. I love it, man. It's great.
That's right. We beam down that way sometimes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I never believed, you know, in the supernatural, you know, in the spirit world and all of this. And I had a girlfriend one time who kept telling me that she saw her aunt and her grandmother, and she would talk to them, and they were dead. But she would talk to them, and, you know, they were conversed and all of this. And I just kind of, you know, didn't believe it, blew it off. But one night we're laying in bed, and she's sleeping, and I woke up, and above her, George, were two misty things. You know, they weren't forms. It was just like mist.
But clearly something misty. You could really make that out, couldn't you?
Yes. And this woman, her first husband, had treated her bad, not physically abused her, but mentally abused her, you know.
Well, and you know what? And that is just as bad as physical abuse in some cases.
Oh, yes. So anyhow, these two mists are kind of hovering over her. And I remember what she tells me about, you know, talking to her grandmother and her aunt. And I just speak up to these two men, and I say, don't worry. As long as I'm here, I will never hurt her, and nobody else will hurt her.
Wow.
And I laid down and went back to sleep. Next morning, we got up. I said, how'd your night go, hon? And without prompting, without anything, George, I promise you, she said, I saw my grandmother in my aunt last night. And I'm sitting here going, chills. Just started at the top of my head and went all down my spine, just cold chills. She said, I talked to my grandmother Amazing. And my aunt last night. They were protecting her, George.
And they just hadn't figured you out yet, Mike, and they
hadn't
finally
figured
did.
Me out yet. I never saw them again. She and I were together for about 2.5 years. After that night, I never saw them again.
God, that's a great story.
It was, and that's what got me to thinking and actually starting to believe. And the young man who called in about his father, I lost my father several years ago. And I actually feel him with me, walking with me, watching over me, and trying to help me through life. So that young man, your father is watching over you. I have no doubt about it.
And you know, Mike, he doesn't necessarily have to communicate with him because his father is already there, isn't he?
Yes. I believe that with all my heart, George, that my dad's with me every step I take in life.
Absolutely.
You know. But
all right.
Anyway, great show, George. I love this show. Keeps me awake. I drive a truck at night, and I'm all over the country, so you keep me up at night, and your show's wonderful.
Well, it's growing. 528 radio stations now around North America. We're on XM. Streamlink is just growing like crazy, by the way. And this new iPhone application with Streamlink is absolutely incredible. If you want to send those stories to this special email address, holidaystories1, that's a numeral one, holidaystories1@yahoo.com. Producer Tom will be sorting through them. Put some contact information, phone number as well, and, of course, list your incredible story. Write it out. HolidayStories1@yahoo.com. And welcome back to Coast Open Lines. Isn't it interesting how the swine flu seems to have just dwindled down where it was in a lot of states, they said, and now it's in just a few states, and it keeps going down. Now the seasonal flu keeps popping up, and you know, I got to talk with our roving reporter, Linda Moulton Howe, who was on with me a couple months ago, and I jumped on her over it where she interviewed a scientist and a doctor who said that there would be 80,000 deaths in the United States directly related to the swine flu. There are 36,000 deaths directly related to the seasonal flu every year, according to the CDC. 30 to 36,000 people die every year because of the seasonal flu. Well, this scientist said 80,000 would die in a season that will go a few more months and it'll pass away. To date, we've had a little more than 4,000, according to the CDC. I don't know why they call it a pandemic, do you? Unless you listen to stories like Jerry Corsi, the first hour, where he talked about how the UN climate guy tends to make some big dollars with the carbon credits and things like that. It's all about money and control and power. Always. Let's go to the, and if you don't believe me, just sit back and watch it happen time and time again. Let's go to Albuquerque. Charles, it's your turn. Hey, Charles.
Hey, George, how are you tonight?
Okay, good.
You know, as a member of the Coast to Coast family, I always join you in seeking the truth. And so tonight, I'm asking you for the truth. Did you really hit Morgus?
Well, let's just say I didn't hurt him. Good enough?
That's okay. Thank
Good
you,
enough.
George.
You got it. You got it. You just never know what goes on behind closed doors, do you? He sure sounded like he got hurt. Steve in Albuquerque, New Mexico. No. He's in Albuquerque, New York.
Albany, New York. Sir.
Albany. There it is.
Yes, I'm your taxi driver, Fred.
There you are. How are you, Steven?
Oh, not bad. Hey, I was thinking, I got two things. Now, if I don't have time, you know, you're going to cut me off anyway. But the first thing is 2012, okay?
All right.
there was a thing on the History Channel in 2012. A couple of brothers and some friends who were doing MVT, and he figured out using charts and mathematics that that there was going to be a severe problem in 2012 right at that time. Okay, they also said the Hindus had it, the I think the Buddhists and the
and
Mayans.
And, of course,
also.
The Mayans, yeah.
Yeah. Now, not just the Mayans, okay? Two other civilizations. I think the Buddhists and the Hindus.
Right.
And Notre Dame was also mentioned in 2012 in one of his quatrains. But the one thing I wanted to point out, this guy made a chart. And one thing I noticed about a chart. Now, you know what a French curve is, right?
Yes.
Okay, for those who don't know, it's for plotting on graphs, okay? It gives you a curved line instead of a straight line. Okay, another thing is, you know, grass is on electronics, and that's a little fuzzy thing, you know, and you could put grass on that, which is little spikes and tiny little drops, okay? Now, if you put a French curve on 2012, it means that 2012 may be a bad time, but it would also go into a great time, okay? Because if you put a little curve on it, it comes back up. Okay, and anything that hits really bad, as we all know with wave theory, comes back up.
It's like a roller coaster.
Right, and here's one thing I want to say to everybody out there. Do not think 2012 is going to be the end of time and all bad things. Get a positive spin. Think good things about George. Think good things about Tom Danhauser, and I think, I don't know who that was, it's probably Lisa.
That's Miranda today. We just answered
Miranda,
the phone.
Think good things about everybody, your friends, your neighbors, people in other countries. Think that good things are going to happen in 2012. Don't think that bad things are going to happen. And as you've seen with other events that people have thought that good things about, you might be, if 2012 is supposed to be bad, if everybody thinks, well, no, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's the start of something good that'll make that curve even shallower. It'll just, 2012 will come in like a New Year's Eve. And as a matter of fact, that would be great to celebrate it like a New Year's Eve.
Good point, Stephen. You have to stay positive. That's the only way you'll get through. You know, I have always believed that you surround yourself with positive energy and good things are going to happen to you. Surround yourselves with negativity or surround yourself with people who have clouds over their head and they're negative. It's going to come down on you. Happens all the time. Boise, Idaho, it's Billy's turn on Coast to Coast. Billy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, George. How are you doing?
Okay, all is well.
Well, I wanted to give you an update. Of course, you know, we've talked about Christian Wild. Christian, you know, helps me to do the stem cell.
Yes.
And I wanted to give you an update. I'm flying back to Salt Lake in January for my one-year anniversary. And to report to you, I had a nuclear study, which I have a copy for you, and I have a copy for Christian Wild that I'm sending to him, that I have so much more heart mass, it's not even funny. I'm off of oxygen. I've lost 23 pounds. I can walk and run, do anything I want to. I feel now like I don't even have heart disease anymore.
Billy, tell us what it was like for you before you went into the stem cell program.
Before I went into the stem cell, I couldn't walk from my apartment, which is about 50 yards to the street, to my car without stopping to take a breather so that I could rest. So that I could function.
Yeah.
Since then, now I can run around this block without stopping.
That's how
much of a difference.
That is amazing. Have people seen a difference in your face, your complexion,
oh, yeah,
and everything? Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. They can see it in my demeanor. They can see it. You know, in my face, they also did what they call a chemical stress test, last week, in which, that's where they take an isotope and they put it in you and they
put you on the treadmill, right?
No, you know, it's just like you're on a treadmill, but you're not really on it. And I'm laying there, and I'm looking at the doctor, and I said, well, didn't you put it in yet? That they already had it in there, and I couldn't even tell that I was, you know, that they even put it in there.
You know what? It is truly remarkable. And, I mean, how bad was your heart before it started in terms of its physical shape? I mean, how damaged was it?
I had 42% of my heart left.
42%?
Yeah, 42%. The infraction ratio was 32. Now my infraction ratio is 50, which is normal.
That's fantastic.
Now, like I said, I'm planning to see Dr. Patel in January 26th, and he has the a year ago nuclear study than he has the today study that I have, and they're going to compare it and see how much more heart mass that I have.
That's fine. And how old are you, Billy?
I'm 53.
Good for you. You know, this may have given you another 40 more years, you know?
Well, maybe another 100, George.
You're just going to keep doing this over and over again. Are you taking the supplements? Are you taking turmeric and all that?
Yes, I am. I sure am. I've talked with Christian about it, and he is very up on the turmeric, and he actually sent me a bottle of that, and it really works. I mean, I've been taking that religiously. So,
Billy, you're a blessing. I'm glad you've been a member of Coast to Coast, my friend.
I'm a strict member of Coast to Coast, and by golly, hopefully one of these days I'll get to shake your hand.
We will do that, no doubt. And this is just a remarkable story. You know, Christian Wild comes on the program quite often, and he talks about stem cells and hearts. He's got the turmeric newsletter. His website is myheartbook.com. It's well worth it. And, you know, it tells us about things that we should take. And I just liked the guy when I first interviewed him years ago. And all of a sudden, he started getting incredible emails, like from people like Billy, listeners to the program, who have had severe heart problems. Christian has been researching stem cells that are injected, your own stem cells, injected into the heart muscles. And he set him up with his doctor. And he qualified. Billy qualified. And you just heard him. This is a honest-to-goodness, real story of someone who could barely walk 50 feet without stopping to gasp. He sounds like a new man. Truly a miracle. And I want to thank Christian Wild for just going the distance for Billy and other Coast to Coast listeners who have written in. Not everybody qualifies, unfortunately, but Billy did, and they got him taken care of, and it is absolutely remarkable. I think he's grown a new heart. That's what's happening to him. He's growing a new heart. Next up, we go to Joe in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. There you go, Joseph. Take it away on Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to touch base on what we were talking about Tuesday night, the Lenin prophecies.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to call in that night, didn't get a chance. But something you had touched on, something that I wanted to call in about, is if the rest of the Beatles, if there was, in fact, a pact with Satan by John Lennon, if the rest of the Beatles knew about it, if they were involved, or if they had no idea. Now, something that was in the book, which I did read the book, very good, very good. Whenever, I believe the man's name was Abrams, his last name, who broke into George Harrison's home and attacked him. After this happened, they asked him, why'd you do this? And he said, well, they're sorcerers, they're witches. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
And I tell you, it makes me think, you know, then you had Paul McCartney's album Ram, which you touched on Tuesday night. And, you know, where he was holding the ram by the horns. And then, 6 months later, John Lennon put out his album with the pig. And he was holding the pig in the same way. And it kind of makes you think, well, maybe there was some knowledge there. I'm just wondering what you thought about that.
Well, that's possible, and you're right. Michael Abram was the name of the guy who broke in to the home, and he truly believed that Harrison was doing black magic and magic, and I don't know. It's entirely possible that they all knew what I can't imagine they didn't know what John Lennon was up to.
Exactly. There's a lot of coincidence. I mean, I don't, just like you, I don't believe in a lot of coincidence. I think it doesn't, it's very rare for something. I think, things are in correlation together. There's a lot of coincidence there if it was such a thing. I mean, with all the clues and whatnot. And it's very interesting subject. And thank you for having that show.
Yep. Harrison almost got killed that day, as he was attacked by Abram with a 7-inch kitchen knife, inflicting 7 stab wounds, puncturing a lung, causing head injuries, before Olivia Harrison, his wife, incapacitated the assailant by striking him repeatedly with a fireplace poker. That attack lasted about 15 minutes. Abram, who was 35 at the time, who believed that he was possessed by Harrison and was on a mission from God to kill him, was later acquitted of attempted murder on grounds of insanity, but was detained for treatment in a secure hospital. He was released in 2002 after 19 months of detention. Traumatized big time by the break-in and attack, Harrison rarely appeared in public afterwards. And then, of course, he passed away after he had cancer. It was an incredible story. Next up, San Antonio, Texas. It's James on Coast to Coast. James, go for it.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call. I've first-time caller, long-time listener. I really felt compelled tonight to call. I heard a caller earlier who lost his father to cancer this year. I did also. And what I wanted to say is an encouragement that he remain among the living. And I found that trusting in the dream state, the dream world, I've been able to connect with my past relatives, even my dad.
Sure.
And it's been amazing. These dreams that I have are very realistic. He's there, present with me, with some of my family members, and it's kind of like I'm not allowed to talk to him, but I know he's there, and I can sense what he would say, what input he would give at that time. And it's just I just feel like staying among the living helps my dad stay connected to the living as well. So that's what I would encourage that caller to remain and to call in during your live Christmas show, New Year's. Thank you for doing that. A lot of people take those times off.
Absolutely.
But it's a way to stay connected. We need to stay connected to the living world, and you're keeping us connected in the media world, shall I say.
Well, and we do it. And by the way, I get 3 weeks vacation. I only take one full week during. I give the other two away. I just don't take them. And Art's going to do 2 nights for me. This is the week after Christmas. He's going to do 2 nights, including his prediction shows. Ian's going to do a couple nights, and we're still working on that, the 5th night for you. And then I'll be back again January 3rd, first Sunday, which I do. I'll be back, and I don't know whether I'll be in St. Louis in the cave or back in Los Angeles that week. I'll be in definitely in L.A. the week after for sure. But a little vacation time coming up. And, it's our pledge that if holidays fall on regularly scheduled work days, and because we broadcast 7 days a week, they're always holidays. I for sure will broadcast for you if I'm here. And Art's going to do this on New Year's Eve, and I think on New Year's night, or it'll be Ian, but it'll be live programs for you and live shows for you on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day as well, as James just said. If you need to email me, just send me a note, george@coasttocoastam.com. Don't get too upset if I don't get back to you. I try. But I have, they've put in a new system for me for my emails with Outlook. And I mean, you can just scan right through these. And so I get them all. And except the ones that say spam on it, they go to a different thing. And I generally don't get those. When we come back, more open lines on Coast to Coast. So those callers in Clearwater and Maryland and Nebraska and Kentucky and Juneau, Alaska, just stay on the line there. Don't lose your place. The last half hour of the program, Richard C. Hoagland will join us to talk about a couple major stories. One is his reaction to this Russian missile that went awry. I'm not so sure Richard believes it was a Russian missile. That's the one that showed that spiral look. And then also there's a story breaking out of India that they believe that there could be life on the moon. We'll be back.